Hey, good morning. We're going to start with prayer since I'm all over the place right now. Lord, bring us all in together in your heart. Let us be focused on you right now, Father. Because we know that your word is full of truth. No matter what is presented by anybody, commentary, etc. Your word is true and pure through and through. And we just want to read your word and follow your heart in all things that we do, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for all the gifts you bestow upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I don't have a handout. Oh, I gotta have it during teaching, so I forgot I used it for the to make a To make the copies and didn't put it back. So today we're going to talk about me. That's usually what we do when we come here is talk about me. David gets it. It continues to be an interesting time. We're going into the new year in the calendar new year. We've already kind of gone into the, well, if you're work in finance, we're in a fiscal new year already, and how we kind of transition ourselves in the Saints Network from one year to the next. What's our new year going to be? Let's see, we're in the new one, or we are in Grace's Supplication. Going into. Thank you, David. Thank you, Vicky. Everybody's working with me. I appreciate it. I've been thinking a lot. I know what? That's more than that. You should actually smell it all the time because I've been thinking about every single thing. And that is not, I don't think that's the way we're supposed to be. I know it's not. When I do things like this, I wake up in the middle of the night, not middle of the night, like 3:30. That's, I guess, the middle of the night for some of you. In the middle of the night, and I go use a restroom. Then I come back and lay back down to go back to sleep. And it doesn't happen. Why can't I go back to sleep? Because I'm thinking. What am I thinking about? Depends on what day of it is. I'm telling you, this is how precise I've gotten to figuring out what's going on with me. So starting a weeknights, it's usually as if I wake up, the first thing I'm thinking about is my job, is the work that I have to do and how I have to finish it. How do I fix it? How do I make it out better? How to do this, do that. This doesn't always happen, but it has started to happen since this big project I've been put on that supposedly I'm supposed to be running. Do you like the way I said that? And anyway, no excuses about anything. I'm just saying that's where my brain is. Why am I there? When I was younger, and when I say younger, I mean in my 20s. Because before, I mean, I was younger, I always thought about being in the teens and stuff. But when I was younger, in my 20s, I used to have these mornings where I just couldn't really get up and go. My whole stomach was in a knot. This is before I became a believer, for sure. But I had some lingering stuff that kept going anyways after that, but I didn't want to go. I couldn't go. But usually if I could lay there or just kind of moved around for like an hour or two, sometimes 2 or 3 hours, then I was, oh, it's okay. So I call those my anxiety moments. I don't know what else to call them. And they were very, for me, they were debilitating. I couldn't really move. I couldn't really think of anything. I was just like the basic functions of my body. That's about all I could do. Okay, I gotta go to the bathroom. Okay, I'm hungry. Okay, I need some water. Okay, I need to sit down. I mean, that kind of thing. That's the way it used to be. And then I became a believer and I read the scripture about do not worry about anything because everything is in God's control. That's my version. Everything's under God's control. But here I am again, feeling that same way, though I don't have that such debilitating meaning I can't get out of bed and move. I know that I can do that now. But here I am in all this time later where I wake up in the middle of the night, I can't go back to sleep. And even as I'm sitting here talking to you guys, my heart rate is off the charts right now. Ooh, sorry. If I took my pulse, if I got took my blood pressure, it would not be normal. And why? Well, because I'm thinking way too much. More than I should. I know that's so true. So I know it's Sunday morning. I shouldn't be thinking about anything except God. And you know what? I should be thinking about nothing else but God all the time. But I don't have a way of getting there yet. I'm working on it, but I'm going to be working on it harder now. But you know, the saddest part about it, you can call it stress, and they say stress kills. Yes, it does. Stress, you know, feeling stressed makes you not be able to focus correctly. Also, I have, you know, can't remember everything I'm supposed to be doing. We're talking about me, remember? Makes me feel weak, like I can't accomplish anything at all. Gosh, am I so distracted? I get so distracted because the thoughts don't stop. So if I distract myself from all those thoughts, then those thoughts stop because the distraction right there is keeping my brain going in that direction. Now, all of this to say, I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you what. All this to say, the atmosphere across the country of the United States of America is very anxiety, angsty orientated. It's very much like that. Mental health is a huge deal right now in so many different ways. You can tell if you watch TV by the commercials that they put on TV what they want you to focus on. So those of you who watch TV, what kind of commercials do you see? I see commercials. Oh, I don't watch TV, but I watched some football a week or two ago. And what were the commercials about? Yeah. Gambling is absolutely correct. Yes. And so is talk radio. If you like to listen to a football game on the radio or listen to sports news, all of it's about gambling because you can gamble on everything now. Why? Because we have technology and computers that keep track of it all. It used to be who's going to win? Bet on that, high, low. They're going to cover the spread, all those kinds of things. Now you can bet on one quarterback that he's going to be able to throw for 120 yards or more. You can bet on that, just that one thing. That's just football. And football, it goes even crazier. Football is just so huge, but basketball, everything. So then you're like watching a game going, is the fix in? You're wondering, is that guy going to catch that pass or is he going to drop it? And there's times when you look at things and you just say, how did he miss that? But gambling. What's some of the other stuff that's on there? Drugs for everything. You need to take this because you might get fill in the blank. And when you go to your doctor, sometimes they're like, oh, you need to get this shot and this shot and this shot when it prevents you from getting shingles. It runs in your family. Da, 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 da. Oh my goodness. So everything's about what could happen tomorrow. Let's talk about that. Okay. One more thing. Anybody else have one more thing that you see on the commercials? I mean, there's some stuff about buy this food or go to this restaurant or something. So food oriented stuff, but insurance. Yes. Insurance. That is true. Yeah, something. Yeah, you can get a warranty thing that you keep for your car, even if you don't. You know, you'll have it from your dealership or wherever you bought it from. You can get a new one or get another one or whatever it is. So all of that, obviously, what is the world making causing people to focus on? I'm not saying you guys, I'm not saying you all are influenced by it, but what's the world focused on? What if? What if? What if this? What if that? So that takes me back. To take no thought. We want to take No thought. We don't want to receive a thought that we dwell on. We don't want to receive something that's not of God. And for me, at least right now, this has been a very difficult time. So, you know, when you're take no thought, did you have something you want to say, Gail? You need a microphone if you do. No? Okay, I'll keep going. I wasn't sure. I looked over there. When we take no thought, we don't want to become so distracted from what God is doing right now here in the world. This is like a no-duh thing, that our entire existence is dwelling upon that thought over here that's not of God. So when I'm having difficulty, the first thing I do is pray. And it doesn't matter what I'm trying to focus on. Like if I'm at work, I need to be at work. So I need to focus on what the job is at hand, what's going on, how to solve the problem and move on to the next thing. But if I'm distracted, I'm not doing that. So here's what I've been doing. Obviously, I've been praying. I've been praying in tongues. I've been taking my time, stopping, and take that time to pray. Now, here I am too. You guys are not everybody's the same. But as I'm praying, I feel nothing change. Nothing's changed. Here I am. I'm still distracted. Okay, go back to work anyways. Go back to work. And then I'm, you know, it just seems to be a round circle 1,000 times over. But I know one thing, and we all know this one thing. Who, what, where does not want us to pray in tongues? The enemy. So if he's got the feelings part of my body, because my body is of this world, and he's got the world by the throat, and he's got everybody consumed with what if, how's the mental health going to be in our country, and how's the mental health going to be for Annette? I'm just, again, talking to me. I'll look up here if I need to. But it's the prayer that makes the difference, even if you can't feel the difference. And I have so been trying to work on that, and it's been difficult. And Pastor Ron came out with a teaching on Sunday, by the way. If you have not listened to it, you need to go listen to it. I think, Vicki, you sent some notes out. Thank you so much for doing that. It's about the lips. And it's more than a voice. It's more than the sound. It's about the border. I'm going to call it the border of, for me, the border of my thinking process, but the border of what God's trying to do. You are there. You're your own border patrol. And so this is all like all meshing together for me. Again, we're talking about me. You guys are just here listening. For me, this is part of a mindset that I must address, and then I must change. And some things are going to have to be super drastic for me anyways. I don't know where all you guys are. Some of you are looking at me weird. But is that because I have my glasses not on and I can't tell? Let me do this and look. Oh, that's normal Adrian face. Okay. Just kidding. So I went to the scripture in Matthew 6. And because this is one of my favorite scriptures of all time that we put on our wall here. I mean, I love it. And when you read it in context, it makes even more sense why this is where we need to be seeking. This is where we need to be looking after, looking towards, looking forward. This has to be like the mantra of the year. Oh, wait, it's almost over. Of next year. In grace and supplication. Because we have to move forward. And of course, I never thought I would be here saying we have to move forward. Because, you know, I kind of thought I was all past all this and things are doing. I'm okay. I'm moving along. I'm going on doing all these things. But here I am again. Maybe I feel like I'm stuck, but here I am thinking, I have to get over this. I really do. And if you're my friend, which most of you are, you know that I go babble, babble, babble sometimes. I just talk. I can't keep doing that. It doesn't matter how I feel here. It matters how I feel in my spirit, man. That's the one that has to win. So we start off in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. It says, therefore, I say unto you, This is Jesus. This is red letters, by the way. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet our heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? You know, I'll ask you that question, are you much better than fill in the blank, better than they? Because that's how things happen too. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why taketh you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. That word spin just means spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought. That's the same word too. We're going to talk about that word. I did not bold it. For the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's a lot of words. So I started off with take no thought, because when I looked that word up, the word means anxious. So let me get there. I'll find it. I have the definition, right? Right there. It's right there. The word is merimnao, and it means to be anxious about, to be troubled with care, to care for or look out for some kind of a thing. Also talks about caring or providing for. That's something else we can talk about. But I know this whole section of scripture I just read to you was something Jesus was speaking to a group of people about not being anxious. Now, you think about what was going on back in the day when Jesus was around and wonder, what in the world could people be anxious about? They don't have cars on the road. Traffic is atrocious around here. They don't have, you look at the things that they had to deal with. I guess anxiousness is everybody's got their own anxiousness. Say it that way. Go ahead, Vicki. Save me.
Well, they lived in occupied territory.
That's true.
And so they had the Romans breathing down their necks all the time about what they could do religiously even, you know, and so they had that, and they were kept poor pretty much. You know, so you had that.
Oh, my goodness. That brings up a whole other thought process. Go ahead, Vicki.
You know, there's some, if you follow the roots back, it talks about a lot of different things about it's the idea of distraction, mm-hmm. this definition, and the fact that it divides and separates and cuts into pieces and takes the whole and fractures it. So this, the whole objective of being troubled with cares and being anxious is really to destroy your thinking process. Yeah. Spiritually, and to fragment it so that there's no unity of thought in the spirit.
And spirit and mind and heart. And it's more than, and as she said, fracture, it's more than a divide. But in some ways it is, you could probably call it a divide between God and everything else. Yeah. And just scatters it all around, right? And that's exactly how I feel. So I'm even sitting here talking to you guys. I have six thoughts going on in my head. I don't want to tell them all to you because I'd bore you. You know, what do we do to solve this problem? How do I turn my mind off? Gail's going to tell me. Then we can all be done.
I just have to go back to personal experience when I had chemo radiation. Before that treatment started, God told me I would not die of cancer. So that scripture that I'm paraphrasing, that says, hold every thought captive.
Oh, yeah.
Unto Christ Jesus. You control your thoughts, but your thoughts control your emotions. So it all comes down to a choice. I chose to focus on doing what that scripture said, hold every thought captive. And I want you to know, I had peace through that whole nightmare that was totally unimaginable.
Mm-hmm. Amen. There you go. That's the answer. Has everybody got it? Okay. Thank you, Gil. It is. You do have to. You do have to focus on that. And then, you know, even in the middle of the night, I'm yelling at myself. 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't think Jocelyn's heard much because she hasn't said anything to me. Shut up! I do. I say it really loud. Shut up! So now we're back to, I have to focus. How do I get there? Well, we already know this. We have to pray. We have to commune with God. We have to meditate on the Word. And that's the thing, for me, I'm kicking them back in. Did I get that far away? Apparently I did, because here I am struggling. So back to this, we've got to focus on this. Got to stay, it's got to be God's Word that gives us the truth that will set me free from this. And so for me, it's been this scripture in Matthew. I'm not going to cry. Okay, Adrian. Okay. Thank you, Adrian. In Webster's dictionary, if you look up the word anxious or anxiety or anything along those lines, it says this, and it's one of those continuing definitions of anxiety. A future-orientated, persistent emotional and psychological response to a concern, a perceived threat, or a trouble. It's a future, right? A future orientated. That's not what scripture doesn't say that, but it says to be troubled, you know, you're troubled by your cares or whatever. But when you read it that way, you can see what the world is wanting you to focus on. Your what ifs for tomorrow. And God continually telling me, I've got this. I am the one in control. I am sovereign. And when you look up the word sovereign in scripture, you'll see sovereign means it's over all. There's nothing above someone who is the thing that is sovereign. In this case, it's God for us. Nothing's above that. So stop it. That's me telling myself, just stop it. Keep focused on what's important. So as I'm looking through the scripture, I start going things piece by piece, looking at every word and what it means. You know, so verse 25, therefore I say unto you, that word say is the word Lego. So I'm building something here. I'm about to build something based on the foundational word of God. Take no thought for your life. Your suke, take no thought for your life. Take no, and I know I keep saying it 1,000 times over. What is suke? Your breath, your spirit. That makes sense to not take thought for my spirit, man, because the Father is the one in control there. Take no thought for your spirit. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. So I'm looking at every piece of this. What am I going to eat? In the spirit, we eat the bread of life. In the spirit, we eat the word of God. What are you going to drink? The water of the Lord. I mean, that's what I'm having. The pure water from the throne of God that flows in the river. What are you going to put on? Well, that put on is the word enduo. It means, what are you going to sink back into? What are you going to, in your spirit, man, what are you going to lean into, or not lean into, but sit down and let it be around you. Let it be what's going to, your thought processes. Not the news. That's right. And that's another thing that's difficult for some people. Difficult. I mean, I like listening to talk radio. Nah, turn that off. All they're playing now is Christmas carols on the Christian stations. Anyway, so it's not everything else. Everything else is nothing. And that's what it says in the next part. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? It's telling, Jesus is telling everyone, look, your focus is in the wrong place. It needs to be over here. I think everybody in here knows that. So once again, we're talking about me. And in verse 28, it has this, behold the fowls of the air. Where else do we behold fowls of the air? When we're talking about the seed. When the seed drops to the ground, who gets the seed? Well, the fowls of the air are one of the ones that can take it away. The cares of this world, you can list them all out. For they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. That word behold is emblepo. It's a word that we've talked about before. Well, blepo, we've talked about before. So when you look at the word blepo, it means to look at, literally or figuratively, but to look at, and to discern clearly what is before you, what is going on. And so when it's talking and it says, behold the fowls, I don't think that's the real focus for me. The real focus is, behold, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? What is your mind looking at? What is your spirit man looking at? What are you looking at? We have to, obviously... There is, let's say it this way, there is much power in seeing clearly when you're a son. Because if you see clearly, you can know what to do. You have this understanding. You can partner with what God is doing, but you have to see clearly. And is that what's been going on with my eyes all that time before? And now I'm back to having some problems with it, but... is that what's going on with, remember, we're talking about me. Is that what's going on with me? I'm glad it's not going on with anybody else, but I want to continue to see, obviously. I want to see clearly what God is doing in the earth. So do you have something to say? Thank you, Gail. Okay, apparently it's me and Gail chatting. You all just hang out.
Okay, you know, cats and dogs are so different. With, you use rewards to get them to pay attention and respond. So I use that technique on myself. I got this as a gift. This huge, it's from Sam's, container of M&Ms. And every time I would take one, I would associate the taste and pleasure of that M&M with a blessing that I would make myself bring to mind, to be mindful of the positive things around me instead of focusing on what I don't have anymore. That's a technique. It works for cats.
And it works for Gail. And David likes it. everyone has different ways to deal with this stuff, and that's fantastic, because we're supposed to be thankful. We're supposed to be focused on the good, not the bad. We're supposed to be speaking forth the truth. Go ahead.
Well, and that reminds me too of that, remember the Book of Remembrance that Pastor Ron had us all start and
yes.
we should be adding to? Because when you go back and look over the things that God has done for you, it's kind of hard then to focus on what's going on in, you know, as, yeah, look what he did here.
Yeah.
I can overcome here as well. And the thing that I'm in right this moment, you know, I don't have to focus. I don't have to look at the circumstance. He's already proven he's much bigger than my circumstances. And so I'm going to go back and read over those things. And I think that's really kind of what's behind, in a way, too, Philippians 4:8, when it says, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report.
Quit jumping ahead. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Well, to think on those things. And if you actually look at what those words mean, not just take them at face value, it's all about the process we're living, you know, in sonship and what he's done for us and what we've already seen happen. And so therefore we know that what he said is going to happen is going to come true as well. It's mm-hmm. going to be fulfilled. And we can look ahead and realize we have a part in that. And so we're still functioning in that. You know, we have to be on our tippy top, you know, to be able to go forward.
Yeah.
You can't go forward if you're looking back or looking at your feet or looking at what's around you all the time. You just get kind of stuck, mm-hmm. like quicksand type of thing.
It feels like quicksand sometimes, yeah. So the Book of Remembrance, the other part for me that's cool is writing the scripture that if I got one, that goes along with what God just did. So like this Matthew scripture we're talking about now would be something I would put in that Book of Remembrance, since you said it and reminded me. You know, it is the things that God has done before to now is sometimes unfathomable. Go ahead, Adrian.
I was just thinking there's also the element of focusing. Your focus becomes on the way you know God thinks and the way he's working. Because in our scripture, when he's talking about, you know, look at the fowls of the air, look at the grass, look how beautifully they're clothed. It's like, look at the way that I operate. Look at the way that I work in and through my creation. This is what I'm doing in you. So stop focusing on what you're seeing and know that if I'm providing for those creatures, I'm providing for you. And the thing that I've clothed you in, the authority that I've given you in the spirit, those mantles, those are what will, again, enable you to move forward in that strength, you know, again, from that place of remembrance, from the place of knowing how he's continually formed you to that point so that you are equipped and prepared to go forward. And so it's as much about remembering what he's done as also just remembering the way he moves and the way he works and knowing everything he works for his good. You know, everything is towards the end of his eternal purpose. And that thing that he desired when he created this earth, which was to be in commune, but to have that point of just function. And so then again, our focus is there and it's not on how challenging something feels in the natural, or as Gail was saying, the lack that we may perceive. Because we know that, and kind of like, you know, the father had me teach last week, you know, we know that that's the price we're paying for transacting kingdom business or being part of this kingdom. And so you just see it as that, and you're remembering that this is how he moves. And you're, again, there's that freedom, because then you just realize and you expect that, okay, this is part of how he's doing his work. And I want to partner with that. I want to hold on to what he's doing. And it becomes less about what actually happens in the physical or even emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to add to that about how he works in verse 30, when he says, look at the process there, he closed the field one day and then the next day he casts that into the oven.
Yep.
Well, he's all about that. And you know, oftentimes we're led to think, oh, I don't want to get rid of that. That was something really good. But it's like, it's not functional for tomorrow, mm-hmm. you know? And so whether it was a good thing at one point, we need to let it go and quit lamenting the fact that I don't want to go through this burning process, because that's just a factor. We know it's not a one and done. We are continually going to have to be exposed to the fire,
right?
And have the excess burned off, because we can't carry that forward. It's not functional for tomorrow.
It weighs you down.
Interesting. And that's exactly it. Because so many people would see the inability to continue to use a gifting as God's taking something away. Yeah, why would you take wrong. This? Right. Something's yeah. wrong. And so therefore, because I've done something wrong, this is a point of punishment. And the father's, it's not punishment. It's the preparation because yes, that tool he gave you was good for what he brought you through, but he needs you to move with him in the new thing and a different aspect. And so that's what he's preparing you for. And so it's not just that he's burning away things that are bad. It's just things that aren't going to align with the next new thing that he's moving you in. Right. Mom was just saying, because he wants us to continue to trust him as well. That again, his provision is going to be there. Right. Right. And you don't just become comfortable and rely on the thing that he already gave you.
And, oh, Gail's turn. Come on, lady. I'm just kidding.
And this applies to who you are. Like with Dave, I was Gail somebody. Mm-hmm. And without Dave, I'm Gail somebody else. And moving forward, God needs me to be something else, something mm-hmm. more, something way different than what my
former self was.
Yes, and the boundaries are gone because I have to consider the way I live my life. I have freedoms now that I didn't have before. You know what I'm talking about because you're by yourself. Mm-hmm. God knows all those things. He knows our potential. And I have to embrace that and welcome it and nurture it. Mm-hmm. So it's not just giftings and trusting God. It's becoming who he wants you to be at this point in the walk as a son.
Exactly. Exactly. Morning. And, you know, like, I'm totally with you. There are times, though, even in all of this, and this is the way that my mind has to change, where I have to realize those things. What does God need me to be now? And it can't matter what's going on around me. And for me, that's for me right now, my job is, to me, out of this world. It is completely, I feel pressure all the time. And I feel like I can't do anything right. And I spend at least 40 to 45 hours a week doing that job. And then I spend 40 to 45 hours a week thinking about that job. Just, I'm exaggerating. But that can't be. It has to be him. It has to be, what's God doing? What's he showing me? So, you know, there's lots of times when I'm, not lots, there's times when I get this, okay, I can do this. All right, Lord, what are you doing? And I think I can't hear anything, but I think that's the point. The point is, you already know Annette. You already know who you are. You already know what you're doing. You just have to walk in that and speak it forth. I don't know any other way to convince myself except to speak it forth, to say, you know, driving down to church, I am a son of God. Why is that guy going so fast? It's all Sunday morning. What's that? Oh, I am. That's me. But I can't be me anymore. So I didn't mean to say that, Lord. I'm changing for the better. I'm Annette 2.0, but hopefully more than that. Larry came in at the right moment. He's already smiling at me. Thank you for not laughing out loud, Pastor. But this scripture, the Matthew scripture, really puts all the things in perspective, as does the Philippians scripture that's next, that I almost didn't put on the sheet. Do what?
I didn't even see that.
Oh, you didn't? I thought you jumped ahead.
No, I didn't even look further.
Oh, look at that second scripture, Vic. I think you should read it. It is there. I'm glad I put it on there. Like I said, I almost didn't. Yeah, go ahead. One more. That's fine.
You know, when it says in verse 31, take no thought about what you should eat, what you should drink, what should be clothed. Mm-hmm. For all these things do that Gentiles seek.
Yes.
That's a mindset of the heathen.
It is.
It really is. It should have no business being anywhere near. And I say that as one who's had that mindset in the past, you know, oftentimes, you know, well, uh-huh. You know, when it comes to finances, that's probably the biggest thing in our life, you know, it has been in the past.
Right.
And so, you know, it shouldn't get to take up any real estate in within our mind.
Yeah. As they say, can't live there rent free.
Because that's it. That's a heathen mindset. It's a heathen way of thinking.
Did you look up the word seek, by the way?
No.
Okay. So it's different than seek first. It's the same word, yet something's added onto it. Let me say it that way.
Oh, seek. Oh,
The heathen seek. Sorry, I just had it up and I got rid of it. And it's epizeteo. I think I said it right. So it means to search, which is great, but look at the rest of the definition. Intensively to demand or to crave. But the other word seek in, where am I? Seek first the kingdom of God. What's that word? Oh, but seek first. Sorry, I just saw the different definition. It's a teo, but it's not. What's the definition of a teo say? And you should talk in the microphone. It's epizeteo with a Gentile seek. Right? Oh, it's my. So then I just wasted our time going around a room. It means to seek specifically to worship God. And it has in a bad sense. To seek in order to find. To seek a thing, to seek and require or demand, but it's a different intensity than the other seek I said. Just a little bit different. And it's interesting because, I mean, the Gentiles doesn't mean us. The Gentiles, I believe, means people that are not sons. That's the nations, yeah. So it's interesting that that word seeks just a little bit different between the two, because it just seems like the world, maybe they're always craving and always demanding whatever, always wanting that. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that those two words were different. You guys figure it out, okay? Adrian, figure that out and come back to us, okay? So then the second scripture we have here is be careful for nothing. This is the one that Vicky brought up, and she... No, you don't have to apologize. I think it's great that you guys teach my class for me. That's one of the best things about you guys. You teach for me, which I love. Right, so be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's that prosuke and deesis in there, prayer and supplication. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Love that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on the things, the seventh thing. Those things ye have both learned and received, heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's a statement and a half. So be careful for nothing. That word be careful, that's the word that we were just looking at. I mean, this is the word we're looking at about and being anxious. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't let the cares carry you away. Cares carry you away. Woohoo. And it does say in everything, and you know, it could be like when there's that thing when Pastor Ron says, in everything? Everything. What's everything mean? Everything. In everything. All of our focus has to be the Father. All of our focus has to be His Word. All the focus has to be us as His Son operating. Everything. Everything. Going to the parade last night was just amazing. Not exactly. But it was an amazing parade. Not exactly. But it was fun, mostly. It was wet. You gotta love Florida cold. It's different. We know it. It's like Florida heat's different, so is Florida cold. And all of these things, and the whole time I'm there, did I think about God? Oh yeah, when the float went by with a big picture of Mary and Jesus on the side of a billboard. Yes, I thought, oh, hey God, praise the Lord. Did I think about God any other time? I know that sounds trivial, but that is where I'm at. But where I need to be is all Him. So you look at, and Vicki was right, if you looked at all the definitions of the words, which I wrote on the back here. You know, we know the words that are used. We've already studied them. We know what truth is, alethes. We know what honest is. It means to be honorable. That's one of the words that I probably didn't know as much. But just, we know what that is. It's the word dike. You go back to it anyway. The word pure, that's hagios, goes roots back to the word hagios. The word lovely root goes back to the word phileo. You go to the word good report, and it goes to euphemos, which has everything to do with your well-spoken sounding kind of a thing. So it's all these words are things that we know or rooted back to words that we know. And that's the focus. That's where our brains are supposed to be hanging out, in these words that are in here. The true, the honest, the just, the pure, the lovely, and the good report. And it says in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen. All those things that we know about. Heard, seen. This is where we dwell. This is our dwelling place. I know it's in the secret. I know there's lots of other dwelling places we can read in scripture. But for our spiritual self, and for me, for my mind, I need to be in this place where I focus on all these things. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, all of these that are listed through and through, we have to think about these and we have to praise God for them. Hi, Larry. Did you have something to say? He does. Hand him the microphone.
Well, just to say, there's a lot of information that's floating around. There's a lot of it that's doomsday. There's a lot of it that's fearful. There's a lot of it that goes nowhere but is distracting. And so all these things are going to vie for our attention. And what we're talking about here this morning is the focus on the things that are real, the things that really do matter, the things that really will affect our future and what is supposed to be happening, not just in our world, but in us, and how we move through our world. And so we move separately from what's going on around us. We become that solid structure upon which everything kind of runs up against and falls away, and we remain. And that's really how God has called us to stand in our terio. And so this is the foundation, or this is the structure that builds on that foundation, what we're talking about here.
You know, that was excellent. You just did the whole Sunday school in those comments, what we just talked about. Oh, Larry. You know, when you see that last word I want to talk about at the end of verse 8, where it says, think on these things. That word think is a word that we've talked about before. It's logizomai. Did I say it right? It doesn't matter. It means to take inventory of what? Inventory of the logos. That's logizomai. That word think, that's where thoughts need to be in that think area, where I'm looking at everything from the perspective of God's word, for the perspective of his foundational purpose that he set forth. That's where it has to go. That's where it has to be planted. That's where it has to reside. We abide there. Gail, anything else? Yeah. I can see she's on the edge of her seat.
As that solid structure, it's so essential for us to guard the atmosphere. And when Pastor Ron's teaching about lips, that's the dividing place. That's, like you said, border between what we're thinking and what we speak forth. So that, to me, is so profound. That's why we give declarations. It changes the atmosphere, and your ability to function improves when you don't have clutter and trash in the atmosphere.
Exactly. Trash, yes. You know, what do people who do not have the Lord, how do they handle it? They don't. They do drugs. They take whatever. They go online to betterhelp.com. They destroy other people. They become bitter. All the things we've read about in Scripture. And if you're sitting there thinking, I'd be fine even if I didn't have God, well, I'm going to tell you, you need more, a little more devotion. You're committed to the Lord, a little more devotion to the Lord. Because, yeah. And that's what, those are the kinds of things, those are the kinds of thoughts that the enemy sends to try to stop you, to slow you down, to try to skitter you away, to saying, you know, I know this is really great stuff and all, but look at how difficult this is. It's not worth it. Yes, it is. You got, again, oh, sorry, we're talking about me again. It is. It is worth it. Just have to keep going and have to be thoughts in the right place, mind in the right place, body in the right place. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your word, Father. Amen.